Oh, this is Reverend Urban speaking, greeting you and sending you my fond affection and love, and once again telling you how very, very glad and happy we are that you are gracious enough to let us come into your home each week and share with you some of the friendship and the fellowship and hopefully the inspiration of our Sunday morning worship experience. This second Sunday of Lent, you will hear a sermon dealing with the prophet Isaiah, who, though he was rich and a very important person in his time, heard the call of God and volunteered his services as a prophet. Perhaps there's a message there for us, and we hope that the service, the sermon, the music, the scripture blesses you. And we also pray that God will be with you during these days of Lent, and that he will especially keep you this day and the days which are to follow. Now I want to invite the boys and girls to come and spend a moment or two with me if they will. Please. Come right on down. We're lopsided here. You can come over here if you want to. This place is not reserved for anybody. First come, first serve, but don't come too fast because you fall over each other if you do. That's great. Are you all comfortable now? Well, good. I want you to say an old name for me this morning. We've already mentioned it once or twice in our service. I think Mr. Lyle read it once or twice. The name Isaiah. Can you say Isaiah? Isaiah. Have you ever heard of Isaiah before? Yeah, well, some of you have and some of you haven't. Well, Isaiah was a very unusual person, and because he went to church. Well, not unusual because he went to church. Lots of people go to church. But Isaiah went to church one Sunday morning, and my goodness, he had all kinds of things go through his mind. He saw some angels, and he heard God talking to him. Now, the reason it was unusual, Isaiah going to church on this one Sunday morning, I guess it was probably Saturday for him, but nevertheless, the reason it's unusual is because something very, very important happened to Isaiah. Now, a lot of us come to church here and in our country today to worship, to seek God's blessings, but we really don't expect anything really exciting to happen. And when Isaiah went to church that one Saturday morning, why, something very important happened to him. It changed his entire life because God spoke to him. Now, we like to think that sometimes in our church services today, in this church and in other churches in our land, that God speaks to people and makes different people out of them and changes his life. Isaiah was a rich man. He was a part of the king's friends and was in the palace. He was a very important man in government and with the king. But you know what he did? God spoke to him and he became a spokesman or a prophet for God. And I just wondered if it might not be possible for us sometimes, as we're worshiping and as we're in church, to be very sensitive to, and maybe we'll hear the voice of God, and maybe God will give us direction in what to do with our lives. Oh, maybe that won't happen while you're young like you are now, but as you continue your religious journey, as you continue to worship God, perhaps it would happen. And there are people out here this morning, this confirmation class, members of it, other young people, other older people, could very well hear the voice of God today and change their lives if they were brave enough to. So you listen as Mr. Lyle reads about Isaiah when he went to church. Thank you for coming this morning. Eternal God, who regards the silent thoughts of our hearts more than the word given, in voice by the lips, and who knows the lives of all as we, as if they were books left open to your sight, we turn to you. We are all one in your love, but we come to you as separate children of your grace, praying to you. We call to remembrance your goodness to us in days past, for the holy gift of life and its joys and sorrows, its struggles and its quietness, we thank you. For the people who mean everything to us, for those who show us what goodness is, for those whose faces we remember when we are tempted to sin, we are thankful. For those who come to whom we can talk about difficult things, and for those whose presence and being straight and being strengthened bring strength to us without oral communication, we are grateful. For those in whose presence the difficult becomes possible, the frightening becomes faceable, for the chosen yokes we bear with you on the roads of justice and sacrifice, and above all, for Jesus Christ, we thank you. O thou upon whose rock the church is founded, grant us in this church to be a company of those who love you, and loving you, serve you, and serving you, learn to love you even more. Confront us with a common purpose and teach us to labor together. Deny us satisfaction with a life whose limits are no larger than ourselves. Guard us from envy of neighbor, and lead us to a better understanding of why we are here, where we're going, and whose we are. O thou who dost rule all people, give to all leaders in government the light of your truth and the grace to serve truth. May they build good foundations for the people who have trusted them. In our prayers, we reach out to all those whose need of thee we know, to the sick and aged of this community, to those who stand at the noontime of their lives, whose hearts may be heavy with some special grief or burden, those whose days are at the dawn, children and young people who scan the skies for signs of hope, but fear that night might arrive before their morning has fully dawned. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, make us faithful, and then grant that loving you, we may love our neighbor, too. Listen now as we open our hearts to you in a moment of silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This sixth chapter of Isaiah is one of the most exciting in the entire Bible. Indeed, for generations it's been used as the model for the steps and the movement of Christian public worship. And in a sense, our worship service is structured on these steps of praise, confession, hearing the word, and dedication. But this sixth chapter tells, as I suggested, about a man who went to church, met God, and volunteered for a job. And his name was Isaiah. He heard the call, "Whom shall I send, or who will go for us?" And in a moment of commitment, he volunteered, saying, "Here am I, send me." He met God in the church. He discovered that God has a job that needed to be done, and he volunteered for it. God has jobs for all of us, for you or for me. for those outside the church, for everybody. The poet puts it this way, and I hope those who are on the feminist thing will forgive me. I'm just quoting a poem. I'm not talking about, I'm not proposing any ideas. The world has work for men, men of purpose, strength, and zeal, men with courage, staunch and real, men with passion for the right, men of honor, stainless, bright. The nation calls for men, men to trample down the wrong, men to guide a stumbling throng, men to go to govern, to counsel, to lead, sure in wisdom, brave indeed. The church seeks earnest men, men of vision, spirit-led, men whose selfishness is dead, men to send the master's word till the farthest soul has heard. The Christ is calling men, men to consecrate their all, heeding but the Savior's call, men with faith and strength above, filled with patient, fearless love. God shares his work with men, work dispelling darkness drear, work to bring his kingdom near. Work for men, firm, valiant, true, noble work for men to do. Isaiah made a commitment in the church, and every worship service should result in commitment. As we consider Isaiah and his commitment, let us become conscious that God has work for us to do, and commit ourselves to doing that work. Hear God now saying to you and to me, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Will you answer, here am I, send me? When Isaiah heard this call, he could have made excuses, as you right now are making excuses. I imagine that not a single one of us are free from the sin of rationalizing and excuse making. Isaiah could have said, for example, my social position and wealth make it impossible for me to undertake this task. He might have considered the calling of a prophet, which he was called to, below his dignity. After all, he was a man of high social position. How could he lower himself to become a preacher? He was home in the king's court. He might have said, to be a prophet is below my dignity. Many years ago, I talked to a young man. He was talking to me about his ambitions. He was making plans to attend college. And I asked him what he intended to do. And he said, I don't imagine I will get to do what I really want to do. My parents would have a fit, even if I told them. He went on to say that he wanted to be an agricultural missionary. Well, what do they want you to be, I asked him. And his answer was, they want me to go into something that will give me position in the community. Isaiah allowed neither his wealth nor his social position to stand in the way of volunteering for special service. He felt that God wanted him, so he volunteered. How many of you know about Dr. Larimer Mellon? He's related to Andrew Mellon and is immensely wealthy. Larimer Mellon has been called the American Schweitzer. Larimer lived in Arizona on a very large ranch, but his life became empty and boring. And one day he happened to read about Albert Schweitzer. And he was impressed that Schweitzer had given up a brilliant career, actually brilliant careers in many fields, to become a doctor and devote his life to the needs of African natives. After reading it, he remembered something that his mother had said years before. The best thing that a person can do with his life is to become a medical missionary. So Larimer Mellon decided to become a medical missionary. He finished college at the age of 40. He went to Tulane Medical School. He became a doctor. And he built a hospital with his own funds in Haiti and began serving the needy people there. Today, I understand there is a large hospital there known as the Albert Schweitzer Memorial Hospital, built by Dr. Mellon. There he and Mrs. Mellon, until just a few years ago, are serving, along with additional American doctors, and technicians, and nurses, and so forth. Like Isaiah, Larimer Mellon is a volunteer. He heard God's call. He made no excuses. And he said, "Here am I. Send me." Then Isaiah might have made this kind of excuse: "There isn't enough honor in it for me. There are a great many who want to know something about that. What's in it for me? How much publicity will I get? Will people look up to me?" Not Isaiah. He seemed to go on the principle that there's no telling how much good a man can do if he does not care who gets the credit. He didn't ask for honor and publicity. He merely said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Or Isaiah might have said, "I don't have the ability." And that reminds us of Moses at the site of the burning bush. According to the Bible, God wanted Moses to do something. He wanted Moses to go to Egypt and lead an enslaved people out of slavery. And Moses was ready with the excuses. "Who am I that I should do this?" God countered that excuse. And then Moses told God that the Pharaoh would not listen to him. And God countered that one. So Moses offers still another excuse: "I'm not very talented. I can't even talk plainly." But God was not to be dissuaded, and he said, "Now get going, Moses. No more excuses. I will help you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." And we have no record that Isaiah used any excuses. When the call came, he was ready to respond. He said, "Here am I. Send me." Now, besides making excuses, Isaiah could have run away, like many of us try to do when we hear the voice of God. And a few weeks ago, we learned through music about another biblical personality who tried to run away, named Jonah. He thought he could get away from responsibility. God called him to do a special thing, like going to Nineveh to preach repentance to the Ninevites. But Jonah didn't like that call, so he decided to get as far away from God as he possibly could. But he couldn't get away, and neither can you. You can't get away from God. And ultimately, you can't get away from your responsibility. I had a friend of mine tell me about a man who one time stopped to see him after a service of worship one Sunday morning. After the others had departed, the man settled himself in the office and began to talk. And he said, "I've been running." And he told about being a member of a singing group on the radio. Later tried to make it in the movies. Then he told of troubles at home, how his wife had left him. And he said, "I didn't want to admit that I was to blame, so I turned to drinking. That way I didn't have to think." And he told a long story about missing rehearsals until finally he was replaced. He started wandering, getting a job here and there, and drinking heavily between jobs. Finally, he landed in a hospital and spent months there. And he convinced this friend of mine that something had happened to him in the service of worship. And so a job and room and board was arranged for him. About 10 days later, the employer called and said that he had picked up his check at the end of the week and did not come back to work. That man is still running. trying to escape from responsibility. Well, Isaiah could have run too, as many do, but he didn't. He said, "Here am I, send me." When the call came, Isaiah emphatically volunteered. No excuses, no running. God had something for him, and Isaiah was going to do it. God has a job for every one of you. He wants good housewives and mothers, good farmers, policemen, lawyers, clerks, laborers, carpenters, teachers. He called Isaiah to be a prophet, but just as surely he called David and Saul to be rulers. And Moses, he called to be a deliverer. I liked what a farmer said to me years ago. "God called me to be a farmer, and I'm going to be the best one I can." Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing for His glory and for the benefit of others. Someone has said that there are three classes of people. There are those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who have no idea what is happening. Isaiah reminds us that we should be among those who are making things happen, because we have responded to his call. Often we refer to the work done within the church, such as the ministry, missionary work, Christian education, as full-time Christian service. That's wrong. A teacher ought to be a full-time Christian teacher. A druggist ought to be a full-time Christian druggist. A housewife should be a full-time Christian housewife. And a minister should be a full-time Christian minister. Mary, the mother of Jesus, scrubbed floors, cooked meals, looked after a large family. And undoubtedly she looked upon her task as a job that she was doing in partnership with God. Of course, a person serves God by going to church, by praying, and by working in the church. These are important, but they don't make him Christian. A man shows his genuine Christian spirit by serving God in and through his everyday work and his weekday time. Donald Fraser tells of an elder in a Glasgow church who preached in out-of-way churches, helping those churches in Scotland, in that area, where there were no ministers to serve or which were too small to retain a clergyman. By trade, this elder was a baker. One day, when he was traveling to one of his churches, or to a speaking engagement, a woman who was a religious fanatic approached him and asked, "Are you a Christian?" And he told her that he was. Then she asked him, "And what kind of work do you do for the master?" The answer was, "I bake." The woman said, "I did not ask about your trade. I ask you what kind of service you do for him who has redeemed you." And again he said, "Madam, I bake." By this time she was somewhat annoyed, and she persisted in questioning him, and she said, "I mean, how do you seek to glorify God and to spread the gospel?" Again, his only reply was, "Madam, I bake." Whatever work God is calling you to do, accept it eagerly, saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Now some of you, many of you, ought to be hearing the voice of God. I know that many of you in the past have shared with me about hearing God's voice in your life. This morning, using Isaiah's example, and the Spirit as your strength, I want you to bow down your heads and reconsider that call, whether it came today or years ago. Reconsider it and let His Spirit move you until you can say, "Here am I, send me." Bow your heads in silence. O Lord, our Father, speak to us and give us courage to respond. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.